Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. As always, I'm your host, Tyler Wall. Perhaps one of the more underappreciated aspects of our lives as Christians is the way we prepare for worship. But how exactly do we do that? My guest today is here to help you unpack some ways that you can improve your personal relationship with God by preparing to worship Him. Daniel Daup is the minister at the Hawesville Church Christ in Hawesville, Kentucky, and is the host of For Your Sunday Morning Drive. Today on the show, we talk about the importance of preparing our minds for worship and some practical ways we can do so. Buckle up, everyone. This is Road Trips. All right, Daniel Daup, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tyler, thanks for having me, man. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. I've wanted to have you on for quite a while now, and I'm excited to finally get you on. So you host a podcast that's called For Your Sunday Morning Drive. It's to kind of get people's minds and hearts prepared for worship, as you say, put them in a Colossians 3:2 mindset. And it's really, it does exactly what you want it to do. It gets you in that mindset for worship. So I just kind of want to know the backstory of that. How did For Your Sunday Morning Drive get started? What caused you to start that podcast? Just what's the story behind that show?
Yeah, absolutely. For Your Sunday Morning Drive, I work in Hawesville, Kentucky. That's where I preach. I live in Evansville, Indiana, and that's about an hour and 15-minute drive. And on the way to church every morning, it just kind of felt like there was empty space. And I would, you know, I'd get up, I'd rush the kids to the car, we'd get in, we'd leave. And then by the time I got there and I would step up for Bible class or for worship, it just kind of felt like I was trying to force myself into this mindset that I wasn't prepared to be in yet. And so I was trying to figure out a way to kind of use that empty space. So it started with putting on, some a cappella worship music in the car and kind of letting that play and helping that guide my mindset. And then it kind of evolved from that to finding some really good brotherhood podcasts and putting those on. And that really helped me. It felt less like I was showing up and flipping a switch to I'd actually spent some time putting in work and preparing myself to be a part of the assembly. And, I was like, I can't be the only one that struggles with this. So I decided to maybe do my little part. And the show was kind of born out of that, you know, just short little episodes to help people prepare their mind for worship. And hopefully provide them with some time for discussion to maybe help the whole family. And so that's kind of where it was born out of that.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's awesome. And, just when I think about that show, I think about just how many podcasts there are out there and how difficult it is to really like stand out and to be unique in a whole sea of probably millions of podcasts that are out there. And that is such a unique concept, and it's like you said, it's not something that you just struggled with. I think it's something that many Christians struggle with. Is we're rushing to get to worship, and then we get to worship, and we wonder why we're not really maybe getting as much out of worship or putting as much into worship as we can. Well, maybe it's because perhaps we're not as prepared and we're not preparing the way we need to. So I think that's really important. I think it's important for us to do that, to prepare our minds well for worship. So next question, I just kind of want to ask, we're talking about building a personal relationship with God. How does preparing ourselves for worship help us in our personal relationship with God?
Yeah. I've been thinking about that question a lot this week. If we look at the word that we find most usually associated with worship in the New Testament, proskuneo, it's this idea of kneeling towards or kissing towards or this act of reverence and submission to God. And if I'm preparing my mind to be reverent and submissive to the great God that I serve, that's going to change a lot of things. It's going to change how I interact with my brothers and sisters that are around me. But looking at it, a personal relationship with God, we want that relationship to be full of reverence, full of submission. We want that that relationship to be one of us coming in humble praise. And so if we even just start with that definition, where we really humble ourselves in front of God, that's going to change a lot of things about how we not only approach maybe if we're worshiping personally, but also beyond that, whenever we're together as a church family.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. And I think, you know, just as we prepare and as we maybe do things that we can prepare, it can show that reverence and that respect by saying, look, the things of this world, you know, they're not as important to me as God is. And so the way we prepare and the way we even go into worship and do worship kind of showed, like you said, I like that word, the reverence and respect that we have for God. Something that I've always appreciated growing up was, you know, my parents, you know, they didn't want us, you know, listening to secular music or watching TV on Sunday mornings. And I didn't necessarily love that at the time, but now I really appreciate it because I wonder that, you know, if I was watching the Backyardigans before church, you know, would I have, you know, been maybe as focused on worship than if I had been? And I think where our headspace is and where our hearts are and where our time is really goes to show how important God is in our lives. And our lives are filled with so many busy things and with so many things that aren't really of God during the week. So why not spend as much time as we can preparing and getting ourselves in the mind space to worship God? Because if we say that he's number one, if we say that he is our life, well, then, you know, we're going to prove that by making the time to go to him in worship. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you really hit the nail on the head by that phrase. We say that God is number one, right? But how does that actually play out on his day? A lot of times, right? We see it all the time, right? People turning around, especially when we're standing in the pulpit, we see people turning around and checking the clocks or looking at their watches. And not that it's about us up there, but that's a reflection of the whole worship, right? The whole assembly together. And if we look at God throughout history, he's always, always wanted the best from his people. In terms of sacrifice, unblemished, perfect, as close to the best as you can be. And, you know, anything less than that, he rejects it. You know, we look at Cain's sacrifice in Genesis chapter 4. He rejected it because it wasn't up to par. And, he's given his best to us in Jesus Christ. How could we offer anything less? And, I think it involves a lot of just slowing down and examining what we're doing. Because what I've found, and I'm not perfect at this either, but what I've found is sometimes worship, instead of this, it being this, yes, a very collective thing when we're talking about it in terms of community, but also a very personal thing, worship can almost seem like something that we want to get through, rather than spend time in offering praise to God. And that's a really scary thought, and it's really sad. You got to imagine that breaks God's heart.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think even as ministers, we were talking before a little about our congregations that we work with, you know, even sometimes, you know, I think about the time and you do too, the time you spend, you know, putting together a lesson. Sometimes all you want to do, like afterwards, or, you know, right after you're done, is just right. like go home, eat your lunch, take a nap, especially during the fall with football season going on. I love to watch football. So, you know, I'm like, oh man, you know, the Ravens are playing or whoever, you know, so I want to go rest. Or sometimes you mention, you know, the community aspect. Sometimes church can be only the social aspect of it.
Right.
And I think that that's even an area that we can kind of fall in the trap of the reasoning why we come to worship, which is to worship God and obviously to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in right. Christ. But yeah. also we can be like, okay, let's get this boring part out of the way so I can go, you know, maybe talk to my friend because there was something that I didn't say before and I wanted to say it again. Mm-hmm. So let's get this part out of the way. Let's get the worshiping God out of the way. And, you know, we say, like you mentioned, you know, a worship pleasing to God, that we want it to be pleasing to God. And, you know, I've never really sat down and thought, man, was my worship today, was it pleasing to God? And what if it wasn't? Because like you said, he wants the best. He wants the best worship out of you. And I think maybe if we perhaps switched our mindset from that, you know, what am I getting out of worship instead of what am I putting into worship?
Yeah.
I think that can really be, a good mindset for us to have. I think it's Francis Chan that says, you know, if you say you didn't like worship, mm-hmm. like just, did it ever occur to you that we weren't worshiping you? And that's like a gut wrench, but I'm like, okay, yeah, that's true because, you know, we're there for God. You know,
yeah, and you know, you talked a little bit about us as preachers. I think one of the ways we kind of have to approach this is also with a little bit of grace, you know, because you look at all the people that we see in the congregation that are, you know, they're there to, you know, stir up love and good works and to be together and offer praise to God, but they're all going through something different. Like you think about, my wife likes to joke that maybe she hasn't heard a sermon in 5 years because we have young children. And that's the majority of her time spent in worship is wrangling our kids. And, you know, sometimes after worship, she'll tell me, she goes, I am just exhausted. And, but it's also important to understand that everybody's going through something different like that too. Right. And you have to imagine that God's seeing that as well. And, that's glorifying God. And I just think that's also a beautiful aspect of preparing our minds for worship, is preparing for those things that they're going to come up, and how we decide to handle those things, or if we throw up our hands and say, well, it's not even worth being there or joining the assembly. Well, maybe it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. And so much of life is simply just showing up. You know, I would much rather, in fact, we had a couple come to church yesterday and they had two young kids and they had to take them out during my sermon. And they were like, oh, sorry, you know, sorry we had to do that. And I was like, no, I'd love having them there. I mean,
yes.
Just the sound of the kids. Yeah, like, sure, you know, maybe I have to talk a little louder, whatever. Like, I don't care about that. I'm just glad you're here, you know? And I think, it can be that tendency maybe when we're going through something to kind of, at least in my life, to kind of like draw away from people and maybe draw away from God. But it's in those moments that, you know, maybe that's when we need worship even more. We think of like worship as kind of this, thing we do when we're praise filled, but even when we're not, I think that worship is still a good thing for us to do because I think, you know, I think about times when I've gone to church and maybe I didn't really want to be there, or I wasn't really feeling it, or something else was going on, And when I left church, when I left worship, I remember thinking, like, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I went. I'm so glad that I didn't skip. I'm so glad that I didn't sleep in, because that was so worth it. And maybe that's, you know, maybe that's a song. Maybe it was the lesson. Maybe it was just an encouraging word from a brother or sister, you know, who may have not even known that they were, that, you know, I was perhaps going through something or didn't really want to be there. I think that that's so important, and treating people, treating our brothers and sisters with love and with kindness, is another way that we can have a worship that's pleasing to God.
Yeah. And it just, those connections, like going back to the word personal, right? This personal relationship, those connections with our brothers and sisters, that makes it personal, right? It's not just a putting on of our Sunday best, or putting on of, you know, this false facade that we're putting up when we walk into a building. It's really understanding, okay, I'm worshiping with these people, but we're all coming before God in a very personal way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So Colossians 3:2, is kind of your verse that you use as kind of the main verse for your podcast. But what other scriptures can we keep in mind when it comes to preparing our minds for worship?
Yeah, it's definitely the one that comes to mind for me, just because I say it every week. But when I saw these questions, one of the things that came to mind was, of course, John 4:20 through 24, where Jesus is speaking with the woman, and they're talking about, okay, where is the acceptable place to worship? And Jesus' response to her is, an hour is coming, and now is, where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. The idea of worship and submitting ourselves to God in that way, it's a beautiful idea that it doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter the location, but it's extremely important to God that we are, and I'll go ahead and use a common buzzword, authentically engaged in it, right? That it's not just, like we talked about before, a thing to get through, or something that we come and we check off a list because that's what Christians do on Sundays. It's about being authentically engaged and being real and worshiping God in a very true and honest fashion.
Yeah, yeah, I love that, and I think that passage, that interaction with Jesus is so, I mean, there's a reason why we use it a lot when it comes to worship, is because, I mean, you think about that time and just kind of the way, you know, the Israelites and the Jews had to worship. It was so, you know, ceremonial. They had to, you know, go do a certain thing, go to a certain place, right? And now, like, Jesus comes in and completely changes the idea of worship, right? And the woman's just like, wait, what? Really? Like, no way. Worship anywhere? You know? And so I think that that's important for us to understand, is the fact that, you know, Jesus wants that spirit and the truth. He wants, you know, God wants our honest, heartfelt worship. And I think that that's important for us to understand. I love, you know, there's certain people, and you probably have this, you know, in your congregation, there's certain people that I, you know, this sounds weird, but I love seeing them worship, because, you know, maybe they're singing during a song, maybe they're closing their eyes. And I just, you know, I don't see that as, you know, oh, they're just drawing attention to themselves. I just see that as just genuine worship. Or when they're, you know, as a, you know, preacher, I really love this when they're staring and, you know, they're shaking their head and they're engaged. And I'm like, yes, I love that. I love seeing that, because you know that worship is like really meaning something to them in that moment. And I look at those people and I'm like, man, I really hope that I'm being that way, because sometimes going back to kind of as a minister, it can feel like sometimes, and maybe this is just, you know, my youth and inexperience so far, it can feel like sometimes that, you know, the reason I'm here to worship is so I can go give the lesson. But like, right. I'm yeah. just as much a member and a participant of worship as the next person. I just happen to be the guy that's presenting God's word. I am very much taking part of the Lord's Supper, or I'm very much singing. I'm very much praying, you know, I'm very mm-hmm. much giving. That is something else that I'm doing just as much as the next guy. And I think that's yeah. that's important to any other minister that may be listening.
Yeah, man, I love that you brought that up, because that's so true. You know, sometimes it can be, I don't think it's youth or inexperience that's a question. I think that's something that everybody that stands behind a pulpit faces, right? You know, okay, I'm here. I'm going to do my job in my congregation, air quotes, right? And then it's over. But it's not. It's not about us. And I definitely have people at Hawesville that I can think of. There's a gentleman that he leads prayer every Sunday, and you know, it's on the surface, it's bereft of any eloquence or you know, high speak. You can tell that he means every word, and the way that he thanks God consistently, even sometimes for the smallest things. You talk about stirring up love and good works among your brethren. It's wonderful, and that's why worship is so important. What if we didn't have those moments? I can't imagine what my week would look like, or what my worship would look like without my brethren.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the setup of how Jesus established his church. There's a reason why he said, hey, you know, on the first day of the week, just go somewhere by yourself and do this, right? He definitely could have. And, you know, there's a time and place for that throughout the week. Yeah. But there's such a good reason why he, you know, has established the church in a way that we come together, because that's really the whole, you know, one of the whole basic, you know, ideas of Christianity is the fact that you're not alone during it. And you get that sense, and you get that encouragement when you see other brothers and sisters worshiping, and when you get that encouragement from that fellowship that you have with them.
For sure. Another verse that stood out to me as I was kind of focusing on this question was Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I mean, that applies to our entire lives, but certainly it implies that God knows our intentions behind our worship. You know, he not that he's out like some boogeyman looking for a gotcha moment. Oh, I know your heart wasn't in that song, or I got you. But he knows. He knows when it's just going through motions, as opposed to when it's truly intentional and heartfelt. And I think that's a good thing to keep in mind, not to keep us looking over our shoulder, but to make sure we're truly offering what we need to. And I think this whole conversation of how preparing our minds is helpful. If we're really putting in the work to change our intentions and our mindset, those things are going to fall into place a lot more easy than if we're just sitting there and just gritting our teeth and trying to force it.
Yeah, exactly. And so that statement kind of leads me into my last question. And this is kind of what I was really, you know, wanting to talk about, because I love just this idea, because I've, you know, your podcast really got me started on thinking about this. And, your interview that you did with Wes really got me thinking about it even, you know, months later. And so what are some what are just some practical ways we can prepare our minds for worship?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first one that comes to my mind is fill silence with something meaningful. And by that, I mean, you know, we all have those moments like the drive to worship or, when we're getting up and getting ready in the morning, just for our day in general, where you don't know what to do with your hands kind of situation, right? Where it's just this empty time. It doesn't have a purpose. Maybe we put on something on the TV, or maybe we're flipping through, stations on the radio, or, for those that still do that, but fill it with something meaningful, whether that's prayer, maybe it's a song that is floating around in your heart, scripture, giving of thanks, just saying a quick prayer whenever you have a few moments of silence in your day. God, thank you for this. And as spontaneous as that sounds, the other component to that is making it a habit, right? And sometimes we're really scared of that word habit because it has this innate meaning behind it that I think we put there, that because something is habitual, it means that it's mundane or that it's not important or that it can't bring God glory. But it's important to understand that it can be a habit and still be quite profound and quite helpful. You know, we would never say that the Lord's Supper is mundane, or that meeting together for worship is mundane, but yet we do it habitually every week. And it's the same way when we decide to, you know, I want to actually put in some time and effort to help prepare me for worship. It might feel awkward at first, but if you're carving out time, instead of saying, you know, on the way to church, we're going to listen to this talk radio show, right? Maybe that's some time that we as a family talk about the sermon from the week prior, or we spend some time, you know, listening even to the Bible on tape or on audio. Just filling it with something meaningful and making it a part of your routine is huge.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's really good. And you know, I always love those, you know, Instagram reels of like these guys and girls that have these like amazing morning routines. And like, I don't at that. And I'm like, I don't look at that as like, oh man, like, you know, they're just trying to show off or whatever. I look at that and I'm like, man, I kind of admire that. You know, a lot of people, have like, you know, the 5 to 9 before the 9 to 5 right, or whatever. I'm never going to wake up at 5 a.m. unless it's to go to Disney World. But but maybe 7 to 9. No, you know, I think that it's important for that I like that word routine and that word habit. And you're right. I mean, I think sometimes we can hear that word habit and just think, oh, OK, well, now you just want to go through the motions. Right. And I love, you know, I know not everyone is in this situation. You mentioned having kids. You know, a lot of people have kids, and so they're not always going to have those quiet moments, and, you know, or maybe they have, you know, Bluey playing in the background or whatever.
Oh, constantly.
right. But, you know, as someone, you know, I live alone, and so I do have a lot of moments of just like silence, and I often am very conscious and in my head, and so I'm thinking, you know, on Sunday mornings I'm like, okay, where can my headspace go? Where can I begin to think? Because for me, you know, it is silent, and so I you know, I'll put on some music or some worship music. And one thing that I really love to do on Sunday mornings is go take a walk, and I'll be listening to music or, you know, your podcast.
Thank and you for the plug.
Yeah, absolutely. and so I'll, you know, that's something that I try to do as like a routine, but I really love, just the idea of adding spiritual, acts in your preparation for worship before you even worship? Because, you know, you mentioned talk radio. I mean, how prepared are you going to feel for worship when on the way there, you're listening to the latest news about the Kardashians, you know? I mean, what, you know, and so, but instead maybe you're listening to a song or one of your favorite hymns. And that's the mindset you go into with worship. That's going to change not just the way you worship, but the way you interact with your brothers and sisters. That's going to change the way you encourage them. Because I know that when I'm off, when I'm not as prepared, it doesn't just change my worship. It changes the way I talk to the people in my congregation. It changes the way I present my lesson. It changes everything about worship.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I'm sure this will never happen once you're married. But it's if you've ever gotten in an argument on the way to church, it will change your whole day. And it doesn't even have to be that. It could just, like you were saying, talk radio or anything that kind of takes your mind away from the purpose behind what you're about to do can shift the way you think for hours to come. And whether it's maybe the kids were a little bit stressful that day or whatever the case is. And you also brought up that idea of some people may not have that quiet time. And that is so true. And I don't want people that might be listening to be discouraged saying, you know what? I honestly and truthfully don't have this time that y'all are talking about. You know, when am I supposed to, how early do you want me to get up? 3 a.m.? But it's important to understand that you can reframe the way we think about things. Maybe you wrestling your child into their car seat in the morning when you're exhausted and you're frustrated and you're on your way to meet with the church, God sees that. And maybe you, instead of saying, well, I can't glorify God in this, maybe you need to understand that you already are by making sure that your kids are going to be in worship and in Bible class and surrounded by Christian brethren. And life is going to change, and the amount of time that we have to prepare for worship or prepare our minds is going to be in flux constantly. And don't forget those little acts of service that are also pleasing to God day of, right? That He's not going to just say, well, you had all these things come up, but your mind wasn't exactly where it needed to be. There's going to be some grace there. And He's going to see the things that we're all doing to make sure that we're there to be together.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's really good. And Daniel, I really appreciate you coming on the show. And this was a great conversation. And I just love all the work that you're doing for the Brotherhood, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. This podcast is in partnership with Ministry League. You can download their app or check out their social media pages or YouTube channel to find all the great resources they have to offer. We'll be back next week with another episode of Road Trips.